when I announced that I would speak upon this subject, giving the pigs a permanent wheel, there was quite a flutter in some sections of the congregation. They thought tonight I was going to take you to a lady's hairdressing saloon and try and work with curling tongs and dryers and all the rest of the accoutrements that the ladies of the church are very well acquainted with. But I have a very scriptural message. If you open your Bible at Luke chapter 15, you will find here one great section of a threefold parable. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. If you look at verse 3, you will find that this is one parable with a threefold elucidation. Now we are introduced in verse 11 to a young man in his home. I want for a moment or two to picture this young man. Here he is at the old homestead. I think we could conclude that it was a country place. And there came to this home a great upheaval. I'm not sure what happened, but something happened. It could have been that the mother, that is the real cement of the family, was taken away by the hand of death. The scriptures are the Lord Jesus. Do not elucidate the point, but certainly something happened. And the younger son came to his father, and he said, I want what's coming to me now. I'm not prepared to wait until you die. Please give me the goods that fall to me. I want them now. The old father, with a teardrop in his eye, with quivering voice and broken heart, he says, all right, my son. And one day he sat at the old table, and he said to the elder boy, that's your portion. And he said to the younger boy, that's your portion. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He never intended to come home. You know, if he had intended to come home, he would have left some things there, wouldn't he? After all, when we go away from home, we don't take everything with us. We just take the bare necessities, the things that are essential for us in our travels. But this son intended never to return. He was going to make one full and final break with home restraints, with the affection of his father, and with the memories of home. This is a great illustration, isn't it, of the characteristics and workings of sin, as we shall see. And he goes in his journey to a far country. And there in the far country, he takes the hard-earned earnings of his father. And he invests them for his own pleasure, for his own base fleshly lusts, for the satisfaction of the sinful cravings of his heart. And everything he had gathered together, he gathered together all. You know, you should go through this chapter and look at some of the words that reoccur within it. He gathered all together. And then in verse 14, and when he had spent all, it was all gone.
was all squandered.
It says, isn't this interesting? There arose a mighty famine in the land, and they began to be in want, the result of the life of sin. And he goes into partnership with a base citizen of that base country. And he sent out into the field to feed the swine. And of course, no lower occupation could be given to a Jew than that, to sit at the swine trough and to feed the animals that were looked upon with repugnance because they were unclean according to the ceremonial law of Moses. And as he sat there, and as he looked at the swine feeding of the husks, we read these words, no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. It's a type, isn't it, of the sinner as far down as he can get. Then he came to himself. And he started to think upon the home that he had left forever. And you know what he thought about it? Bread enough and to spare. And he began to think of the Father. In his mind's eye, he counted the teardrops that fell from the Father's cheeks the day left full. And remember the Father's loving entreaty. My son, don't go. Stay with me. I'm aged now. I need your support and your comfort. I've lost your mother. Stay and keep company with me. And he remembered the Father's heart. And he said something. Down yonder with the swine, he said, I will arise and go to my Father. I will arise and go. And he said, I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he was going to then make a very foolish offer to the Father. Take me in as one of your hired servants. And it says he arose and he went to his father, but his father saw him. Sitting no doubt on the flat roof of the eastern home, the father had often gazed down the road to see, was the son ever going to return? For a father's love and a father's prayers and a father's compassion had reached away to the far country. And there was a magnetism about the father that was drawing the prodigal home. And when he saw him a great way off, he had compassion. And he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. The son, midst his tears, said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And immediately it said, I have sinned. The father said, thank God he's repented. Well with him. Son, say no more. And he called the servants for the best robe. Take the rags off him. Put the robe on instead of the rags. Put that golden ring upon his finger. He's my son. Put shoes upon his feet. Put him into the same place that he always stood at. And then bring him to the table and set him down at the place that he always sat at. Make the best meal you've prepared for a long time. Bring that fatted calf in and slay it. And roast it. And let's be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, I see that boy leaving the swine trough. And I see him going steadily away from the field and up the path that leads to home. And when he comes to the summit of the hill, he looks back. And he sees the swine at the trough. And he sees the place that he has sat for days. And he thinks of his past. And he thinks of the present occupation that he had been in. And thank God he waves it permanently goodbye. He gave the pigs that day a permanent wave forever. I hope you have got that, friend. Now I've told you the story. I want to draw the doctrine from the story. There's three things that are worthy of note in this great parable. One, there's the characteristic of ruin by sin. The characteristics of ruin by sin. Secondly, in this story is unfolded for us the characteristics of repentance for sin. And then last of all, we have the characteristics of redemption from sin. And I want to deal with these characteristics tonight. First of all, the characteristics of ruin by sin. The first characteristic is selfishness. When sin comes into a life, that life is overcome and it's mastered by selfishness. That young boy wasn't interested in his father. He wasn't interested in his home. He wasn't interested in anyone else but himself. And sin makes a man to be entirely and absolutely selfish. This is the first characteristic of the road downwards. When a man gets caught up with himself, that poor old drunkard tonight in the boozer or in the club, he's not interested in his family. He's not interested in his boys and his girls and the wife of his bosom. He's only interested in himself. That man that's away at the house of ill fame tonight trying to satisfy his fleshly lusts, he has one interest, and that interest is himself. Sin makes man utterly and absolutely and totally selfish. And selfishness begets greed. And that man in his selfishness says, Father, give me. Give me! Give me! Give me! That's the language of sin, isn't it? Give me! Give me! Sin is a grasping, greedy thing. Sin is always an appetite that cannot be satisfied. And friend, the more you sin, the more you want to sin. And the more you break God's law, sinners, and the more you want to break God's law. And the more you violate the commandments of heaven, the more you want to violate the commandments of heaven. Sin is characterized by greed. Sin is characterized by a journey. A journey down. Isn't that an interesting and suggestive word? He took his journey. His journey. Do you remember the runaway preacher who went in the path of sin, and we read he paid the fare? And friend, I want to tell you that sin has all the characteristics of a hard and terrible and bitter journey. God doesn't make it easy for men to go to hell. Thank God for that. The way of the transgressor is hard. And God piles up on the road to hell obstacles and blockades and difficulties and barriers to keep you from hell. My, if they had let you alone to go to hell, you would have been in hell long ago.
Yes, sir.
If God hadn't restrained you by His grace, you would have been damned. But you're sitting in His house tonight. And you're in His house, my friend, because of His grace and because of His mercy and because of His love. The journey, it's a hard journey, friend, going down. My friend, you've gone a long way in that journey, haven't you? You know, the next characteristic of ruin by sin is suggested in the word, a far country. How far does sin take me from God? How far does sin take me from holiness? How far does sin take me from purity? How far does sin take me from heaven? It's a far country that sin takes you to. God's far from you tonight because you wandered far away from God. You remember the innocency of your youth, and as you look back tonight and think of your childish innocence, and now your heart's depraved and your conscience is seared, and there are skeletons in your cupboard, and in the book of life there's big, dark, damnable blotches. Why? Because sin has triumphed in your life. That's why. Takes you to the far country. Takes you away from heaven. Away from love. Away from grace. Away from Christ. Away to death. Away to judgment. And away to hell itself. Far country. And there's something else, friend. The characteristics of ruin by sins, not only selfishness and greed and the journey in a far country, but it's waste.
Waste.
That's what you've done with your life, man. You wasted. You're only a waster tonight. You wasted your talents. You wasted your physical prowess and powers. You wasted the brain that God gave you. You wasted everything that was bestowed upon you by a Father's loving care and a Father's loving grace. And tonight, friend, you wasted many, many precious years. I don't know how many of them you wasted. But friend, the characteristics of ruin by sin is waste.
Waste.
What a waste it is when a man's damned in hell. A soul that was built to enjoy the presence of God. A soul that was built to sing the melodies of redemption for all eternity. A soul that was built to commune with its Maker. And because of sin, cut off eternally. And down yonder in the caverns of eternal hell. A wasted soul. Waste. That's the characteristic of ruin by sin. Let me tell you something else. Riotous living. Yeah. Riotous living. Sin is lawless. Riotous rebellion against authority. And that's what you're doing. You're rebelling against God's authority tonight. Oh, my poor sinner, don't you see yourself tonight as God portrays you? What a terrible thing sin is. What grave sin has dug. What home sin has blasted. What lives sin has blighted. What hells sin has created. What awful depressions and depravities and disappointments and disillusionments does sin beget. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Riotous living. What's the next thing? Robbery. Yes. He spent all and he was beggared. That's what sin will do with you, friend. When sin finds you, it finds you with everything and it'll leave you with nothing. Sin will strip you. Sin, my friend, will steal from you everything that you love. And at the end of the day, when sin is finished, with you. You'll be shipwrecked on the reefs of eternity. A poor, beggared, bankrupt, hopeless, poverty-stricken soul. Make no mistake about it tonight. When sin finishes with you, you're finished forever. Yes. And if you look again at it, you'll find that sin's characteristic is famine. A hunger that can't be satisfied. Is that what you have tonight? Lust that knows no satisfaction. An appetite that cannot be fed. Sin, my friend, will plunge you into the mighty famine. In the land afar off from the God of heaven. And not only is there a mighty famine, there's want. And when sin finishes you, you'll be in want, all right. And there's bad company. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. An evil partnership. That's what sin does. Gets you into entanglement. My, in that room there, during these past meetings, week of meetings, Dr. Jones was preaching what confessions the walls of that room here. Lives that have been tangled up by the devil. Lives that have almost been destroyed by the power of sin. Homes that have been broken. Mothers and fathers' hearts that have been smashed in the great wheel of iniquity. Thank God there's a balm in Gilead. Thank God there's salvation in Christ to man's sinning and wounded heart. Where would we be, man and woman, but for the grace of God tonight? Where would this old world have got to in its sin if Christ had not hung upon a cross and shed his blood for our redemption? Did you ever picture this world in its present state without the gospel, without the Christ, without the atonement, without the intervention of Almighty God, without the plan of redemption? Where, tell me how far, would this world have gone in its deceit and wickedness? And lawlessness. And the last thing about sin, you know what it does with you when it's done with you? It leaves you forsaken. And he was sitting alone with the beasts. He had become a beast himself. And in the company of the old filthy pigs he sat. Sin had done its work. And when sin finishes with you, it'll leave you forsaken. Forsaken in time. Forsaken at death. Forsaken in hell forever. My, thank God this story doesn't end there. Thank God that's not the end of the chapter. That's just like the introduction. The real meat of the story now begins. And the next thing we see in this wonderful story are the characteristics of repentance for sin. And the first characteristic of a man coming to his God is the God-begotten longing for the Father's house. Why, it's a great thing when men start to long after their God. Talking to a man here last night who applied for church membership. And he said, at my work, he said, God one day took a dealing with me. And there came a great longing in my heart to be right with my Maker. To be reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. To know that I was at home with God through Jesus Christ. May God send a sweep of longing through the hearts of sinners tonight. May they long for the Father's house. May they long for the robe of righteousness. May they long for the ring of reconciliation. May they long for the shoes of restoration. May they long for the feast of redemption. May God put a longing in your heart. It's only the Holy Ghost can do that. That's why we're absolutely depending on the Spirit of God to breathe upon sinners in the meeting. And God has been doing
longing for the Father's house. You remember the time, believer, when you started to long for home? You were homesick, weren't you? You tried the broken cisterns, but the waters failed. Oh, you converted boozers and gamblers and sinners and all your converted self-righteous religious people. You remember the day when you got a longing to get home to the Father's house? My, that was the start of the work of grace in your heart, wasn't it? You longed for home. And he's sitting there. And the tears run down his cheeks and mingle with the husks as the swine eat. And he says, my Father's house. My Father's house. My Father's house on high. Home of my soul, how dear. At times to face, foreseeing I thy golden gates appear. Back to the Father's house. Great longing here. That's the start. And then there's an acknowledgement of his lost condition. You know, he said three things, three I wills. He said, I. He said, first of all, I perish. I perish. My, when a sinner starts to say, I'm a perishing sinner, there's hope for that man. If you think there's one decent thing about you that's going to merit salvation, you're for hell. But when you learn you're a guilty, undeserving, ill-deserving, and hell-deserving sinner, praise God, you're going to heaven. You're starting. That's the first thing. The old Puritan said, it's the Holy Ghost that teaches a man he's a real sinner. So it is. The Spirit of God gets hold of you. I perish. But he didn't stay there. He said, I will arise. I will arise. I'm going to quit. Is there a man or woman in this meeting? A boy or girl is saying, by God's grace, I'm going to quit with my sins tonight. Please God, there'll be souls that will say that. I will arise. You see, when sin gets you, it puts you down, friend. That's where sin puts you. Down! But praise God, when the work of God gets going, you rise up! Lifts you. The first thing God needs to do is to hoist you out of the seat of sin. That's where you sit. I will arise. And then he said, I have sinned. I'm going to confess. I'm going to go and confess to my Father that I've sinned against heaven. He didn't say, first, I've sinned against my Father, for that would have been no good. He says, I have sinned against heaven. And friend, you have sinned maybe against your home, and maybe against your friends, and maybe against your body, but in the first analysis, your sin is against heaven. It's against God. I perish. I will arise. I have sinned. I will go. Praise God. Is there a soul tonight going to say, I will go? I'm going to go. Go to Jesus. Go to the cross. Go to the fountain. Filled with blood. Come, said John Bunyan, and welcome to Jesus. Praise God, there's a welcome for him. These are the characteristics of repentance for sin. But then we have the characteristics of redemption from sin. My, these are wonderful, aren't they? You have mercy seeing. The Father saw him. Friend, God sees you tonight. He sees you. Maybe there's no one else cares about you. Maybe you feel that you're a poor, sin-forsaken, lustful soul, and no one cares. I want to tell you, the Father's eye sees you. There is no eye like the eye of Jesus, piercing so far away, nor out of the sight of its tender light can the wanderer stray. Mercy sees you tonight. God sees you. Jesus sees you. You say, preacher, if he sees me, he sees me lost and ruined. No, sir, he sees you as a soul that he can redeem and save. He sees you, my friend, as his own
potential son. He doesn't see you in your death. He sees the man that his grace can make off you.
Mercy sees you. Mercy seeing. Ah, we have mercy loving. When mercy sees, mercy loves. He had compassion. His whole heart went out to the boy. God's whole heart's going out to you tonight. The throbbing heart of the great eternal God longs with infinite compassion for you, friend. Who can measure the love of God? No measuring rule can measure its height. No measuring rule can fathom its depth. And who shall measure the great love of God in its reach from east to west? It's farther than the broad horizon's rim. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. It's for you tonight, praise God. You can taste it. Praise God, you can taste it tonight. Mercy loving. Mercy running. Yes, he ran. I'm glad mercy runs to man. Mercy hadn't run to you, you would have fallen to hell, friend. But mercy ran for you. And God is running after you tonight. God sent his Son from heaven running after sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the characteristic of a true Christian is a man or woman that is running after the unsaved to bring them to Christ. This is the true Christ-like spirit to bring man to the Savior. Tell me, friend, mercy's running to you tonight. I'll tell you something more. Mercy has met you in the church. The grip is not the grip of my feeble speech. It's the grip of the Spirit of God upon your heart. You're beginning to feel as you never felt before. And you see the folly of your sins. This is running mercy. But praise God, mercy not only runs, it not only sees, it not only loves, it not only runs, but praise God, it embraces, puts its arms. Happy day when the mercy of God put its arms around me, the sinner. And mercy kisses. That's the seal and sign of blessed forgiveness. Oh, friend, there's pardon at the old rugged cross for every prodigal soul tonight. There's pardon, my friend, for you at the cross. And then, I want to tell you, friend, that grace worked first. Get it, friend. The Father did all this before the Son ever did anything. For salvation is of the Lord. The Lord has saved me. And then the Son said, I have sinned against him. And the Father says, that's all right, son. You've repented. First of all, let me put the robe on you. There's righteousness. That's what you need. Your rags are unrighteousness. But there's a perfect robe of spotless, immaculate righteousness for every child that comes. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting fully in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Righteousness. Let me tell you something else, friend. There's not only righteousness, but there's reconciliation. Put the ring on his finger. The sign of eternal reconciliation and eternal wedlock. And then put shoes. Put them back into the old place of standing. That's what it is.
And out of all, die! Adam's original standing was life. But in Adam all die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. I've got my standing back. I was once a child of hell. Praise God, now I'm a son of heaven.
And then he said, bring him to the table. Let's sit down. let's have fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Friend, this and these are the characteristics of redemption from sin. And they began. I want you to get that word. It doesn't say, and they were many. It says, they began to be merry. That's only the beginning. Hallelujah! That's only the start of it. My friend, the half has not been told what God can do for man and woman. Oh, friend, taste tonight. Come and drink of the waters, and you'll never thirst again. Sit up to the table, take the bread of heaven, and you'll be satisfied. The world leaves you disillusioned and disappointed, but Jesus completely satisfies. May some prodigal come home tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for liberty given to us tonight in the exposition of the Word. We thank Thee for the great story, the story of God that's portrayed in this parable of redemption and reconciliation and pardon and restoration. Lord, would You speak to sinners now and bring them home to